proclaiming God's love and truth for you and your family. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
The title of this came up was Money, Friend or Foe. And it's kind of a tricky little thing, because the truth is, money is neither our friend or our foe, right? Money is really amoral. Money doesn't have feelings. It's not good. It's not bad. Money is just money. And we're gonna go through a perspective first. It's a World War II perspective, and we actually have a World War II veteran in our congregation that's not here, so I think it's okay to lift him up a little bit, but I don't see it. It's Brother Louis, and Brother Louis is a man's man. Brother Louis stormed one of the beaches in Normandy. I think it was Omaha Beach. And he's got a bronze star on his license plate, and I promise you, you don't get those by, they don't give those away. You get them for being something really courageous and valor. And then they call that generation the greatest generation, and I think it's properly named. In the World War II, when the landing crafts would land, if you've seen Saving Private Ryan, they would drop that front gate, and then literally all hell would break loose in chaos, and they would be fired at with heavy machine guns, and they would look out over the sand, and if you ever ran in the sand with full gear on, you'll know it's not fun or easy, especially with bullets flying at you and barbed wire everywhere. And on top of these embankments were these big concrete structures, and on, inside those structures were the heavy machine guns that were firing at our soldiers, like Brother Louis. And from the perspective on the ground, when those landing crafts opened, the perspective of the soldiers was, there's no way we're going to win. They're looking at all these great feats in front of them, and their perspective was, there's no way. We're going to go anyway, but there's no way we're going to win. And behind them is 5,000 ships of Americans. And when the planes were going overhead, they could see the whole battlefield. They saw all the ships. They saw all the resources behind them. They saw the men tackling the ground game. They saw them charging the hill. And they saw the perspective of all the resources behind them, all the soldiers, and what they had to do in order to overcome their big challenge in front of them. And when they were flying over, their perspective was, "Is there's no way we're going to lose. There's no way." The air perspective was, when they saw the whole picture, was victory was going to be obtained. But on the ground, when we're looking up at these great big machine gun firing nests at us, we think there's no way we're going to win. So our perspective, we got to get a little more godly. Our perspective has to be a little higher, especially when it comes to money. I failed with our money and our finances with our family for a lot of years. I made a lot of really big, dumb mistakes, and we paid for them. And one of the big mistakes I made was ownership. I thought it was my money. I thought if I gave God his 10%, I could do whatever I want with my 90, because that's mine. And it's wrong, and we're going to go to the scriptures and see exactly who owns this stuff. And 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 11 and 12 says, "Everything in the heavens and earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as being in control of everything. Riches and honor come from you alone, and you are the ruler of all mankind. Your hand controls power and might, and it is at your discretion that men are made great and given strength." Who sounds like owns it? God? Amen. Ownership. Let's go to Haggai. He's one of the prophets in the back of the Old Testament. Haggai chapter 2, we're going to start at 6. This is what the Lord Almighty says. "In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come, and I will fill this house in glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. The place I will grant, declares, and in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty." Who owns the gold and silver? Is it you? Is it me? Is it our money in our pockets? We're going to go to Psalm chapter 50, verse 10 to 12. I'm going to start at 1. "The mighty one, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes forth and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around his tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth, and he may judge his people. Gather to me my consecrated ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens proclaims his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am your God. I do not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are even before me. I have no need of a bull from your stall or of goats of your pens. For every animal in the forest is mine, and the cattle on the thousand hills. And I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures in the field are mine. And if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine, and all that is in it. God owns the animals too, folks. God owns the money, God owns the animals, God owns all possessions. Leviticus 25:23 says, the land must not be sold permanently because the land is mine, and you are but aliens and my tenants. Throughout the country that you hold as a possession, you must provide for the redemption of the land. God says the land is mine too. Do we own our homes? Do we own our land? Do we own our cars? It's a good question. I have a $100 bill, and I'm going to give it away to a young person between the ages of 12 and 18. Sorry. So if you're a young person between 12 and 18, and you want it, you got to stand up. Look at him. That a guy. Okay. I'm going to take this, and I'm going to crinkle it up in my hand, and I'm going to make it really messy. I'm going to make it so you can hardly even tell what it is anymore. And then you stay standing if you still want it, but look at that. It looks like a piece of garbage. You still want it? I'm going to put it in water. Now I have this wet $100 bill. It's really ugly. It's really not good to... If it was lying on the side of the street, you'd probably walk right by it. But you stay standing if you still want it. I don't have dirt, so I'm going to use coffee grounds. I have a $100 bill full of water and dirt. It looks really ugly and nasty. And so you stay standing if you still want it. You got to stand up.
No, I'm not 12 or 18.
How about you, young man? There you go. What's the illustration? The illustration is that's how God saw us at one time. We were ugly. We were dirty. We looked like we had no value. We looked like a piece of garbage. And yet God saved us from our sins in despite of us and who we are. God saw a value like that young man over there did. He saw the garbage and the dirt, but he chose to accept that and saw right through it and saw the value underneath it. And that's the illustration. Work. God's plan or punishment. Raise your hand if you think work was made after the fall of man, which means after Adam sinned. As it's a punishment. It's a punishment for Adam's sin is work. I'm sorry to tell you, but if you raise your hand, you're wrong. Let's go see what God says about it. Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat that tree, you will surely die. God made work before the fall, folks. He made it good. After the fall come toils and all the other stuff that wasn't ever meant to be, and made it a lot harder, made labor pains, made thorns and thistles and briar bushes, which I think is the most worthless plant in the world. And he made it hard. But God's intentions for our work is good. It's good for us. It's good for us to be productive. It's good for us to do something. One of the scriptures says that if a man won't work, he shouldn't eat. Now, it doesn't say if a man can't work. It says if a man won't work. People who are physically unable to work should still be able to eat. But people who won't work, people who can't find a job that are looking really hard should still eat. But people who won't. Let's talk about quality of work. Proverbs 22:1. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is maker of them all. We're supposed to put our best foot forward at work. Work is something good and holy from God. We're supposed to work really hard. We're supposed to work like Christians. Quality work on Proverbs 22:29 says, do you see a man skilled in his work? He will serve before kings. He will not serve before obscure men. A person good at their work is going to do good things. We're a testament. Our work life is a testament to who we are as Christians. Our money is a testament to who we are as Christians. There's an illustration from Dave Ramsey. It says, when the Crusaders were being baptized to go out and fight, they would get baptized with the sword out of the water, picturing that the Lord had control over their whole life except for the sword. They could do whatever they needed to do with it. And I myself was really guilty of this, and hopefully you're not, but us Christians like do the same thing with our checkbook when we get baptized. We hold the money out. God, you can do whatever you want with the rest of my life, but the money's mine. It was really convictional for me. But it's supposed to cause us to repent. We trust God for our soul and our salvation and eternity. We can trust Him with our money. You can trust the guy that died for you. Amen? Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Who do you work for? Your boss? The guy who's telling you what to do all day? Is that who you work for? Not a chance. Whatever you do, work as it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, for it is God you serve. 1 Thessalonians 3:10 says, night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. The missionary here is working. He's working night and day praying for people. And another aspect of finances of where we started is we got to have contentment. Money won't buy contentment, and poverty won't steal it. And 1 Timothy 6:8 says, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content. Are you content today? Are you content with what you have? Grateful? It's good. Now we're going to go to the harder part. It's about tithing. Our finances got exponentially better when we started tithing faithfully. It's amazing. When we start going the way God wants you to go, how He'll start blessing your life in that area. We were full of debt. Mostly through my stupidity and our mistakes. We had student loans, two mortgages, car payments, credit card payments. Credit card bills up to like $16,000. Our savings was next to nothing. And we lived a really hard lifestyle. It was hard on our marriage. It caused a lot of stress and fights. But then we went to a Crown study one time. And it was a 10-week course, and it was a really hard course, and it was a lot of work. But just like everything, you get out what you put in. And the ones that you work the hardest in have the most fruit in your life. And let's see what God has to say about tithing. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 through 10. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. In all ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. God's faithful, folks. When we're faithful with what we're supposed to be doing with God's money, He's faithful. It's really good. It's an adventure. It's fantastic, and it's all out of faith. The first time I cut out my credit card was out of faith. It wasn't easy. I needed that in order to finance my business. And when I cut it up, and then a year later, when we paid it off, I wrote them a note to MasterCard. It said envelope 28 cents, right? It said stamp 33 cents. Not being MasterCard slave anymore. Priceless. Genesis 14:20. And blessed be God Most High who delivered your enemies into your hands. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Abram at that time just freed Lot, who was captured by their enemies. And there was a big battle. And then we'll go back to 18. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God the Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. One of the ways I think a tenth is so fair is I think it's impossible for you to give 10% of what God has given to you back to Him and love money. And God's commanded us that the love of money is the root of all evil, not money. Money's not the root of all evil, the love of money. And I believe by tithing your 10% of your first fruits, it is impossible for you to love money. Impossible. And another thing why we give our tenth of God, most of us work a 40-hour work week. Some of us a lot more, some of us a lot less. But for a medium, we're going to use 40. By giving our first tithe, the first 4 hours of your Monday morning is strictly for the Lord. All that money goes as the first is to God. So how much greater is it that we not only get to give our money to the Lord, but we also give Him that first 4 hours. I hope it's a good first 4 hours. I hope it's not 4 hours of gossiping and all that. Because we work for the Lord. We don't work for man. You know, I just pray it be our hearts that we would do well and we would be found faithful. And now we're going to go to debt. Romans 13:8. Let no debt remain outstanding except for the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal. God says pay your debts. Owe no man anything. One of the big problems with debt, and why they call it debt freedom or freedom from debt, is it causes us to be stuck down to where we are. If you have to work that 40-hour job every week for the rest of your life, how can you do mission trips? How can you do the things God has called you to do if you have to have it? So we need to declutter and cut the ball and chain off of our leg of debt. It's holding us back from God's will and what God has us called us to do. How can we be a blessing and give gifts to people if we need every single penny we got to go to all our debts? We're called to be debt-free, folks. Proverbs 22:7 says, just as the rich rule over the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender. When you borrow money for a car, a house, a credit card, an appliance, a pair of shoes from JCPenney's, you're going into slavery. God hasn't called you to slavery. God's called you to freedom. That's why Jesus came and died on the cross for freedom of sin, for freedom of debts. When you first took that crown, it was really life-changing, and it was really good for us. And just about every area of our life, money touches. And I'm going to show you our debt testimony. It's going to come up here. But I don't want you to think that because it's up here that I think I'm something special, because I don't. I don't want you to think that it's something because of me, because it's not. But I do want to show you some fruit. And you can see the numbers. In 2008, our credit card was $16,000. My line of credit for my business was $19,751. Rachel's was $27,000. Our first and second mortgage was $166,000-ish. Rachel's student loan, $131,000. Our appliance loan, $6,000. And then, as we started Crown, we got a nice tax bill for roughly $15,000 that we didn't have any money for. And it turned into this big faith thing, and it was really earth-shaking, because it happened in, I think it was March, and obviously it's due April 14th or 15th. And we had to sell some things. We had to get rid of some things. I had some IRAs we sold. We took a 50% hit on, which was really fun. I bought Rachel a ring for Christmas, and it was a nicer ring, an upgraded one, which she had to return, which you feel like a real man when your wife takes her Christmas present back and sells it to pay bills. But that's all right. It was humbling and it was good. We were out of control. We weren't living by God's word. We weren't doing it God's way. We still had owner of all our own stuff. It was my company. It was Rachel's company. And our perspectives was the ground war, looking up at this great big structure saying, there's no way we're going to win. And then we started to get a godly perspective. We found out exactly who is the owner of everything. The gold is mine. The silver is mine. The cattle on a thousand hills is mine. The land is mine. The beast in the forest is mine. And our perspective changed and started to get a little higher and a little higher. We could start to see more of the battlefield. And we worked really hard with the gifts that God gave us, and God gave us all our work. And we signed a quit claim deed of pretty much everything we owned. And we gave it all back to whose it really was. It was the Lord's. We don't have any children. We steward over God's children. We don't have any companies. We steward over God's companies. We don't have any money. We steward over God's money. Our perspective is vastly different, and the fruit of that is this. We pay our taxes quarterly now. The credit card's gone. Our line of credits are down. Our mortgages are slowly being paid off. Her student loan's being paid off. The appliance load's gone. We owed some money for medical bills that are gone. And God's really letting us have victory and really letting us have freedom. Freedom so we can serve Him. Freedom so that we can do good things instead of sitting around working our whole lives and paying bills. And the best part about being free is being able to serve God wholly with your time. The Crown Vision is that if all of us in here were debt-free, all of us, if you and your spouse were completely debt-free and you had no mortgage and you had no car payments, half, look at over here by your neighbor, half could either do full-time service for the Lord without needing money, without needing a paycheck, without needing any of that, or half could give all of their money to support the kingdom and kingdom work. And there's a lot of really great things you can do with money and a lot of really fun things that you can do with money, like giving to missionaries and supporting them. It's what an honor and privilege we have to be part of God's work and God's kingdom. And what an honor and privilege it is to fund a missionary for even just a couple $100s. What an honor and privilege it is in order so that they can go do God's work that you can help support them. It's fantastic. It's a great plan. When we have our perspective with money right, we'll be more charitable. The 10% is a start. One of our goals is to be able to tithe 50%. We're not there yet because we've got all these bills, but eventually we're going to cut them off. We're going to be able to give the way God's called us to give. We're going to be able to do the things God calls us to do for freedom. We're going to pray because that's all I got. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day and our many blessings, Father God. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. And again, forgive me of my sins, Lord, and us of ours. And I pray for this church, Lord. I pray that we'll be a light to you and to Wonder Lake, Father God. I pray that we'll get finances correct, Lord. I pray that you'll remove the resistances in our heart, Lord. I pray that our finances be glorifying to you, Father God. I pray that our works be glorifying to you, Father God. And I pray that this church be used in mighty ways. We pray for Pastor Dan, Lord. We pray for his purity. We're so blessed and grateful to have him, Father God. And I'm thankful for the music team, Lord. They do a wonderful job week in, week out, Father God. And I just pray a blessing upon them. We're thankful for Kurt, the behind-the-scenes guy that gets everything done. We pray for another blessing upon him, Lord. And I'm excited to see what you're going to do in all our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.